Alongside Commander Sandy, the Outlaw Jesse, King James, and Miss Hannah, I'm just John. Thanks for hanging out with us for another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Our guest this week is the head coach of Lee County, Dean Fabrizio. He'll be talking about his game against Lowndes, his schedule, how hard it is to schedule, what it's like being at the top of the rankings with a bullseye on both your chest and your back as consistently as they are in Lee County. And we'll catch you up on the week that was as we get you ready for the week that will be. We'll let you know what's going on with the Football Fridays in Georgia game of the week. We know what game that is. We'll let you know that toward the end of the show as well. So, Hannah, it's another big week here at GPB.
Was your big night out on Friday? How did the Emmy Silver Circle ceremony?
Well, I mean,
say that four times fast.
Emmy Silver Circle ceremony. First and foremost, thanks to the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the Southeast chapter. Mark Harmon, our former sports director, nominated me to go into Silver Circle. And you go in front of a big committee, and they sit there and they look at all the names. And this was this year's inductees and last year's because of COVID-19. They didn't have a ceremony last year. So there were 10 of us that went in this year, plus three that went into Gold Circle for 50 years of service. 25 years or more of service is a Silver Circle. And I guess to answer your question, it was in alphabetical order. So I was toward the end. Naturally, the sports guy is toward the end of the show.
Yeah, and we don't care about him.
It's like sports and weather. You guys are here. You're at the end to send us home. But no, it was very, very humbling. And as I've told everybody who has reached out on Facebook, Instagram, on GPB Sports Facebook page to me personally, all the texts, it's been very humbling. It's been very overwhelming. And it's been really cool to see everybody who has reached out to say thank you in this. And could not have done it without everybody here at 260 14th Street. Absolutely could not have. And, you know, the story that I tell is that I answered a three-line classified ad in a newspaper in the winter of 1994. And I had one of the oldest VHS demo tapes at the time just to hand to the executive producer of Prep Sports Plus at the time, and he's like, yeah, okay, come on. And so 27 years later, here we are. I have a lot less hair, and we've been able to do some great work, and I know we're just getting started here at GPB.
Well, we missed you on Friday, but the pictures were cool. We got to show the pictures on the post-game show.
And that's the other thing. When the boss and I went to Auburn, because we were going to go to the noon kickoff of Auburn and Alabama State, so we just decided, since I was banished from the building, and it's like, no.
It was your night off.
And so you're not allowed to come to the building. You're not allowed to do anything. So we're just like, okay, noon kick, we'll drive down. The hotel rooms in Auburn, because of the reach of the Atlanta market, the hotel rooms in Auburn have GPB.
Okay.
And so I got to watch the fourth quarter of the football game and during the replay. And so I got to see the replay of everything. And no, it was very, very cool to see that we're off and running this year.
And of course, watch it on your GPB Sports app on the go. Hey, Wiley Ballard did a great job of filling in for you. We missed you.
Thank you.
Let's give a quick recap of our game. It was Creekside versus Cartersville at Wineman Stadium. Mm-hmm. Purple Hurricanes beat the Seminoles 17-14 in a true defensive battle to go 3-0 on the year. Cartersville offense only had 182 total yards. 87 of those were by running back Amari White on 12 carries. Senior quarterback Jake Parker was just 11 of 27 passing, but two throws went for touchdowns. One, a 21-yarder in the final 2 minutes for the game winner. There wasn't much offense. We had trouble finding an offensive player the first half.
So I heard, yeah.
But what a game. What a game.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for. With Creekside, with their first two wins against top 10 teams, going to Cartersville, and Maurice Dixon, you know, he'll play anybody, any place, anytime. And it just so happened, it's like, all right, Connor Foster's like, sure, come on up to Wineman. So they're going to play. They played there. And it was a great defensive game. And you have to give both of these teams a lot of credit this early in the season. It was only Cartersville's third game, only Creekside's third game. But I think that when you look in the rankings in 5A, these two teams are going to be toward the discussion at the end of the year. So it was good that we got to kind of get an early look at both of these teams in 5A.
All right, week four is in the books. Let's talk about the other top five games I was following on Friday night, John.
Sure.
We'll start with the big region matchup in 7A, Marietta mm-hmm. versus number 8, Camden County.
Yep.
Camden County leading early. Marietta made the comeback to win 40-17.
Yeah, and what will be interesting for me is to just find out, because you're going from Kingsland. I mean, mm-hmm. basically, you're going from Jacksonville to Marietta. And so for me, that's an interesting travel element in all of this. Did they come out of the blocks and did they just run out of gas because of the travel aspect of all of this? But, you know, Jeff Heron has gotten Camden County off to a great start again this year. And once again, you're having to schedule 97 non-region games because you're in the region of doom in 7A Region 1. And so you're just trying to get through these non-region games as healthy as you can with Jamie Felix at running back. But I just wonder if with a very young team that maybe that travel got to them in the second half.
Packers won in the final minutes of their game. The number 7 Colquitt County defeats Valdosta 48-42. That's another one of those games I wish I just could have been watching. We need more TVs. What were your thoughts on that one?
Nico Fan goes 11-14 for 263-3. And we talked to Justin Rogers this year already on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast about
young team, about, lots of sophomores.
About this young team. And once again, you're getting into the rhythm of a season. And so Colquitt County now at 3-1. They've got Heritage Conyers, and it should be their fourth win of the year. So 4-1, you know, after this Friday, and you're just kind of getting into that rhythm of getting into that same region that we're talking about, Region 1.
What a game to watch. This one surprised me. Huge crosstown rival game between Warner Robins and Northside. Mm-hmm. The Demons blew them out, John, 49-7.
Yep, and, you know, we caught up with Marquise Westbrook on Central Swing and things like that, and, you know, it's wins like this against your city rival. This was Red School and Blue School. This was my column last week about what it means to make this kind of an emphatic statement. You get to 3-0, and when we've talked about 5A, you could probably put a blanket over the four or five top teams in 5A. Warner Robins is really trying to make that statement about being the top team as they try to go back-to-back.
Yeah. All right, in AA at Memorial Stadium, number 1 Fitzgerald defeated number 8 Dodge County 15-6. Not an upset at all. The number 1 team in AA in Fitzgerald.
Right.
But just a good game, and it was just one I had my eye on.
Yeah, and when you have two teams in the top 4 or 5, you know, I'm not looking at dropping Dodge a whole lot in my rankings, and our GPB rankings will be coming out in just a little bit. And when you have two teams that are basically somewhere in the top 3 and then somewhere in that 3-7, just because you lose, and this is my rationale that I give folks when it comes to some teams still being as high as they are in the rankings, why are they so high? Because you're playing a team that's higher than you and you don't lose all that poorly and you still account yourself very well. So Dodge for me in the AA poll should not be dropping a whole lot. Okay. 7 or 8 for me might be that place for me when it comes to Dodge. And obviously Fitzgerald, you're looking at the top of AA. Callaway, Rabun, Fitzgerald, Thomasville right now. That's your 4. And I've seen the order of them going all over the place.
This was a cool stat. Fitzgerald held Dodge to 119 total yards and 1 of 12 on third down conversions.
Yeah, and Tucker Pruitt, you know, we saw it last year when they were going up against Callaway, how stout defensively they can be. And they made it to the last game of the year with that defense and very, very opportunistic offense. And I think it's going to be the same again this season for them. Once again, a very, very young team with losing some folks to graduation. They've got Cairo this week, and that's going to be a very, very stern test for them going up against Steve Dvorsny and the Syrup Makers.
And two of the top South Georgia programs went at it. Lee County and Lowndes. Lee County pulled it out 24-21. Lowndes tried to make a comeback, couldn't do it. We are going to talk about that game more with Coach Fabrizio in just a minute. John, any big upsets that you saw?
I don't know if necessarily big it comes to upsets, but you know, you look at Appling beating Tift when you have a team in Appling County and them being as highly ranked as they are in AAA going to play a team in Tift, which is also in Region 1, but Tift is under a new head coach in Noel Dean, so you're getting to get adjusted to how he wants to do things, and I think it was opportunistic for Appling to go up against a young team in Tift. Appling now 4-0. And according to our friends at the Georgia High School Football Daily, holding Tift to minus 10 total yards in the second half. So stout defense for Jordan Mullis and what we're seeing out of Appling County, a top 5 team in AAA.
What's going to be your biggest GPB poll shakeup?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly, as I'm sitting here and I'm buzzing through what you're looking at, 7A, I don't think there's going to be much of a shocking shake. 6A, I don't see much of a shake. I'm still going to have Valdosta in my top 10, even though you're 1 and 3. 5A, you look at what went down. Nope, nothing really changed out of there. Maybe Bainbridge. I still think Bainbridge to me is a top 10 team when you're looking at Quad A, even though Bainbridge did lose last week. You know, Crisp obviously losing. They're probably going to be out there. Crisp at now at 0-3, so they'll probably be out of my AAA top 10. AA, I think you're still going to see the same names. Northeast's upset loss to Daugherty, 10-7, might drop them right toward the edge of the top 10 for me when it comes to AA. And then you look at North Cobb Christian losing in Class A private. And then Lincoln County, that was one of the big upsets to me this past week, in where Lincoln County, they were in the poll, and then they end up, you know, losing right out of the blocks. And so it's going to be a quick one week in, one week out, as Laney beats Lincoln County last week. And so Laney's one probably bumps Lincoln County out for me.
Wouldn't be a show without giving a Lassiter update.
There you go.
Lost to our rival Pope, 28-7.
So now you're going to have me fishing for my Lakeside.
What happened to Lakeside? Yeah, so. Decatur didn't play, right, Sandy?
Okay.
Off Arabia Mountain.
They won the off week. Who do you have this week, by the way?
Arabia Mountain.
Oh, so you got Arabia Mountain for homecoming this week. That might be sneaky, but I think you ought to be able to handle that one. I think it'd probably be a little tighter than a lot of folks may expect just because it's homecoming. So I know that you guys are your top 10, and I know that you're taking the Decatur flag and you're sitting there and you're, you know, walking it through the second floor as to what's going on. But
Are you still searching for Lakeside?
I'm still searching for Lakeside.
Here, there's a thing called the internet that I have.
I know, but I'm looking. Oh, we lost to Discovery 45-7. Okay. So there you go. I think it's time for our guest.
I think so, too.
It is time to catch up with Dean Fabrizio, the head coach of Lee County, after a big, big win this past week. So, Coach, let's just get right to it. It was a tremendous win for you this past weekend. 3-point win over Lowndes, 24-21. Now that you've had a day or so to have some distance from it, what are some of your takeaways?
Well, anytime you beat a quality program like Lowndes, one of the top in the state of Georgia, with their tremendous fan base there, it's a great win. The second thing is really proud of our kids and how hard they played in the game, and especially, you know, coming off a tough loss last year. And the third thing, I'm glad I don't have to see Ja'Cari Brown again on the other sideline, because he is one special player, that's for sure.
The game came down to the final minutes. What was it like for you? What was the atmosphere like? This is just such a big game. We've been talking about it all show. We were talking about it on Friday. Just tell us more about what all went into it.
Well, you know, the game certainly lived up to filling the atmosphere. It was a great crowd, great atmosphere. You know, you had Mike Norvell from Florida State helicoptering in right before kickoff. People asked me who he's looking at, but I think he was there more probably to scout Ja'Cari, because he's got to face him at Miami the next few years. But
as the Florida State alum on this show, Coach, I'm just going to be silent from that moment forward, but continue. Keep going.
Here's the thing about it was we really established control of the game early, jumping up 17-0 the first quarter, and had a couple of chances there in the fourth quarter to put it away, 31-14, but, you know, missed a field goal, got held on downs deep in their territory twice when we missed some wide open passes. But, you know, they scored one right there at the end, and we just had to recover the onside kick to ice it. So we felt like we had control of the game the whole way. Anytime you got a player like Ja'Cari Brown and a program like Lowndes and the players they've got, you know, it's always in, you know, you never feel great until that final whistle blows.
When it comes to scheduling, considering the program that you've built there in the past decade plus, how difficult is it for you to schedule non-region games knowing the reputation that you have?
Well, when you have to find 7 non-region games like we do, because our region is so small, it makes it very difficult. And then you throw in the factor that there's just not a ton of schools around us like the big metro areas, it makes it very difficult. And, the thing we got here is a lot of the schools that we've traditionally played down here, for whatever reason, don't want to play anymore. So it makes it very difficult to find games. We end up having to have a lot of buyouts with the teams. It certainly hurts the gate. But, we've got, because of that and because we want to have ourselves ready for playoffs, we've try to put together a pretty tough non-region schedule. You know, we opened with Carver, who's clearly one of the top teams in 4A. Mm-hmm. Lowndes, always one of the top teams in 7A. And then in 2 weeks, we have to go to Warner Robins, who's the defending state champion in 5A. So, you know, we'll definitely be battle-tested by the time we get to region play.
Yeah, you've got a non-region game with Lithia Springs this Friday. How do you keep the momentum going?
Well, that's, you know, one thing we talked about here is, you know, if you want to be a team that can make runs in the playoffs, you've got to be able to practice hard after a big win because, you know, you've got to be able to come back and continue to improve. And that's one thing we've challenged our kids when I talked to them this morning is, hey, we got to come out and get better today. If we want to be a team that can play deep in the playoffs, we've got to be able to show that we can practice hard after a big win. And, you know, fortunately here, you know, I think we've lost, what, 6 games in the last 5 years, mm-hmm. and everyone, and those losses have been either that it's been to a defending state champion, a team that was ranked number one in the state, or top 10 in the nation. So, you know, we've been fortunate that, you know, knock on wood, we haven't stubbed our toe against anybody who we've been favored against. And so it's always been a high-profile, really, really good football team that we've lost to. So hopefully our kids can continue to take care of business and not have any letdowns.
Student-athletes being what they are and social media being what it is these days, you know that kids are attached to their phones. They're attached to their computers. That's, you know, iPads and all that kind of stuff. Knowing going into a season, odds are you're probably going to be number one or number two in your class, and that's the way it's going to be all season long, and that's the way it's been as far back as I can recall, the way that you've built things there. How do you keep them from not looking at rankings and things like that and all of the press clippings? How difficult a job is that for you and the staff?
Well, the first thing is, you know, we've got high expectations here, and that's something we embrace, but we try to make sure we're not overwhelmed by, or we don't, like last year, you know, it's losing in the state championship game is a special year, and at 6A level in Georgia, really any level in Georgia, and you can't come away disappointed and say, well, it wasn't a bad year because we didn't win a state title, because state titles are really hard to come by. So we embrace the high expectations, but we try not to get overwhelmed by them. And I think that's something that we've done a good job of here is trying to, like I said, understanding. We've got that understanding. Hey, people expect us to win a lot of games. We have high expectations, but we can't get too caught up in that. We have to take it one game at a time to move forward. And it's kind of got to where we, you know, the initial, I remember when we first got ranked number one was the week after we beat the Jake Fromm led a HOCO team,
yeah,
in a big game, you know, in front of Kirby Smart, I think in 2016. And that was just a huge deal. I remember, I think it was my second year here when we got ranked number 10 in the state, and that was a huge deal. And really, it was more of a distraction back then. Now, the kids and the community were used to being ranked high, so it's not a big deal anymore. Now it's kind of like, hey, we're ranked number one, we're ranked number two, ho-hum. So I think it's kind of that kind of excitement we've kind of moved beyond. And so it really doesn't affect us much anymore. Whereas, you know, 8-9 years ago when we were building this thing, 10 years ago, if we got ranked, you really had to guard against the people reading the press clippings and all that because it was so new. Now it's just something our kids are used to.
Yeah, you've been coaching in Leesburg since 2009, but in the past 5 years, you've won 2 6A state championships. Like you said, made it to the finals last year, lost to Buford in OT. What a wild one that was. What's been the difference in these past 5 years?
Well, you know, it was a, like I tell people here, it was a gradual process. You know, when I got here, literally, we were trying to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I inherited one of the longest losing streaks in the state, and I added to that for probably half a season as a head coach.
Yep.
And we won a game, and then it got to be, hey, man, can we just have a winning season? Then it got to be, can we just make the playoffs? Then it was, can we have back-to-back winning seasons? Then can we win games in the playoffs? And then it was, hey, and what made it tough was as we were growing this thing, you know, the regions we got put in didn't do us any favors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember back in 2013, we won our first region title. When I was here, won 10 games, had the first back-to-back winning seasons in school history. And then, boom, they drew the line at us with 1,800 kids and put us in the top class with the Lowndes, Colquitt counties, the Valdostas, the Camden counties. And that's a tough slate, you know, because any other division, you know, top to bottom, you're only talking about 200 or 300 students. But the top class, you're talking about close to 2,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we made it through that and then, you know, got put down back down the class we're supposed to be in. And I think that's the gradual process of growing this program is kind of, we looked up one day, it was, hey, we're playing for a state title. And then it got to be, can we repeat as state champions? But you know, it was never really, you know, early on, hey, we're going to win a state title here. We were just trying to get to kind of the next milestone to grow ourselves as a program. And, you know, we just took one step at a time and gradually, boom, you know, we are where we are today. It's kind of hard to believe. It's a little surreal when you sit back and think about it. But it wasn't something we just, I wish I could say I had a magic wand and it was a quick fix, but it certainly wasn't. It took a gradual process and a lot of years of hard work. And I think the big turnaround, you know, was when I got here. You know, the middle schools, you know, they only had about 20, 25 kids playing football in eighth grade. And, you know, after my second year, we grew that to where it was, you know, 60 to 70 kids playing in eighth grade every year. And as those groups started to matriculate through is when I think our program really started to take off.
What attracted you to Lee County in the first place?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, I hadn't been in Georgia very long. So, you know, and so if I had I been here longer, I don't know if I'd have taken it or not, taken a job or not. But no, it was a, you know, my kids were about to start school. You know, one of them was going to be in kindergarten the next year. And I knew it was a really good school system. And, you know, a lot of people told me not to take the job. But the more I kind of researched and looked at things, the more I realized there really wasn't anything that was preventing them from being good. It was just going, you know, now it took a minute, but there wasn't anything built in that I felt like you just couldn't overcome. So that was really, you know, the opportunity to come here. And, you know, the principal at the time, Kevin Dowling, and the superintendent, Larry Walters, and Rob Williams was the athletic director. You know, they had a vision for what they wanted, the football program. And I was very impressed by them. And like I said, I knew it was a great school system to put my kids in. And I thought we could eventually get things done here.
Well, you've certainly changed the culture down there. What does football mean to Leesburg?
Well, you know, like in South Georgia, football is such a big deal, and it's a big deal in all of Georgia, but, you know, football in South Georgia is just special. And, you know, last Friday night with Lounge here was one of those nights. It's just one of those special South Georgia football nights. There's so much passion in the communities here for football, and, you know, we've gotten to play at the Coffees, Valdosta, the Lounge, Colquitt Counties, and some of these, and these iconic high school football stadiums and communities. And, you know, we feel like we've kind of got that going here in Leesburg, where when you come here, it's just a special atmosphere. And it's a football here is a big deal to play. You know, we've got key. It's nice on Saturdays. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a game on that doesn't have a Lee County kid playing in it. And all those former players that are in college now or before that, they're all keeping track of the team. They're all constantly calling or coming back by when they get a chance. And checking on the team, and it means a lot to them. And, you know, our players now don't want to let down the guys that came before them.
Have you always thought of yourself as a builder when it comes to programs and coaching?
You know, I never really thought about that. You know, I've been fortunate, you know, as an assistant, I was part of a lot of successful programs and learned from a lot of good people. You know, Chad Campbell, the last guy I worked for, Peach County, is a phenomenal football coach. And, you know, I've worked for a lot of other really good coaches, and I never really thought of it. You know, I got here and, you know, I didn't, you know, you don't really think about it. You just look up one day and you're here 13 years, you know, and it's been really neat to see, you know, the kids that played here, and now their younger brothers are playing for me, and the kids who played early on that come back. And, you know, I go back to that first state title and we won in 2017, and seeing all the former players crying after the game and how much it meant to them. I mean, it meant just as much to them as the players who were playing at the time, because they knew they had a big role in building it and getting us to this point. And that's probably the neatest thing being here so long.
Well, my last question for you, Coach, is we know about some of your top playmakers. We do this segment on Recruiting 2021 where we'd like to highlight an underdog on your team. Is there a player that doesn't have an offer yet that we can help get him an offer and give him a shout out? Who would that be?
We've got several guys, I think, that are, you know, maybe are not, you don't hear as much about as some of our big time guys. You see Julius McLennan Jr., one of our two running backs, is an awfully good player. The Willie Williams out of wide receivers, another excellent player. And our middle linebacker, Wiley Gear, you know, he sat for but he was a backup to Baron Hobson, who was a 4-year starter for us. He was his backup for 3 years. And now it's his turn, and he's making the most of it. And he's a really good football player. So I think those three guys out of several would definitely be ones that colleges should be interested in.
Well, Coach, as always, it's great to catch up with you. And we know that when it comes to the rankings, you're always going to be right there at the top when it comes to 6A. So great win this past week against Lowndes. Good luck this week against Lithia Springs. We'll be keeping an eye. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast.
Guys, thanks, and thanks for all you do for high school football.
It's always good to catch up with Coach Fabrizio, and he's another one of those guys, like we said in the interview, that want to challenge themselves with that non-region schedule, knowing that a lot of times you're going to have folks that are going to want to see them chasing toward the end of the year. And I know that a lot of folks in the poll specifically are saying Lee County, Buford, Buford, Lee County. Mm-hmm. That's just how it's going to be pretty much all season long, I think.
Just a rematch?
I think a lot of folks were looking at that as one of the classifications that would have those top two teams chasing after it. Again, obviously, you have to look at the brackets and things like that and figure out where things are going to be. But I know a lot of folks coming into this season were looking at Lee County as one of the contenders across the board.
I would love to see a championship rematch with Buford. That was the wildest game we had last year on our air.
Absolutely.
I think we submitted it for an Emmy.
We did, as a matter of fact. And so it was Emmy consideration. Mm-hmm. But now it's when you have games that are that crazy that go to overtime and things like that, I'm anticipating, and I know a lot of folks are as well, that these two will be chasing after that game 15.
Yeah. What just a classic rivalry. Lee County Lowndes, what a game. I kept saying to my producer during the game, I wish I was watching this. We need to get more screens up in the studio.
Yeah, really?
We need more TVs where we can actually watch bowl games. We need like a TV wall.
Yeah, we need a TV wall.
Like, well, were they even on air?
Regardless, we need a TV wall regardless.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we both do. I need a TV wall out in the field. Mm-hmm. You need a TV wall out, you know, in the studio.
Talk to Gerke about that.
That's what you need.
And just like tapping into like their recruiting feeds.
Yes.
I need to see the game.
You need that. We need the hot feeds for all these games.
Oh, what a good one. All right.
All right. So is there anything else on anybody's mind before we go?
Well, I hesitate to bring this up. I'm sure it's still a little painful, John, but I don't know how we cannot mention your alma mater. A little bit of...
Ouch!
A little bit of an issue in the fourth quarter.
Little issue. Sandy.
Florida State, unfortunately. Jacksonville State. Well, you watched it, didn't you, John?
Wow, I didn't know we were going there today, guys.
I saw the ending.
You okay, John?
Well, and the quarterback for Jacksonville State was Zarek Cooper, a two-sport mm-hmm. athlete out of Jonesboro. And suffice to say that... And this is where I'm trying to be diplomatic about things.
There is no diplomatic way to go about this game.
Oh, I'm absolutely livid. I don't know if beyond livid is the proper terminology, but I'm beyond livid about
what I think that's fair.
About what happened. And for those that didn't...
If you're watching on video, John's face is getting red.
Oh.
More red?
It is out of control. There's 6 seconds left. You have 59 yards to defend. Mm-hmm. So what do? You don't go prevent defense. And for the game that we're talking about is Jacksonville State and Florida State. And it was all over the Twitters and all over everything. And so with 59 yards to go, 6 seconds left in the game, all you have to do is knock the ball down. Keep everything in front of you. Seriously. Keep everything in front of you. So what do? Instead of playing prevent defense, you play single high safety. You play single high safety, and you give the quarterback all the time in the world to sit there and try to complete the pass. And he does, into double coverage, and two defensive backs looked absolutely just disinterested in wanting to defend this pass.
Over it. They're just over it.
You had one in front. You had the receiver. You had the one guy behind. And so what does Zarek Cooper do? He throws the pass, and it's absolutely complete, and it is just right there. And
to the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, baby. Hello,
who do we
John?
Have on the line, John?
This would be a proud Jacksonville State University Gamecock, somebody that is a student there, a player there, and a coach there. And I know, John, you wouldn't be discussing in angst, with great angst, what happened to your Florida State Seminoles this weekend in Tallahassee by the Jacksonville State University Gamecock.
And for those that are wondering who this voice is, This is my dear friend, until this phone call, this is my dear friend, Joel Ingram, the head coach of the Washington County Golden Hawks.
Hey, Coach! This is a surprise.
Hey, how are y'all doing, man? I wasn't going to miss this. I thought this was too much gold to not rib John about this, him being such the FSU man that he is. And it's crazy around here. You know, I've got coach on my staff that was the captain of the team at Florida State. So
we've had a good time with it around here, and it was very nostalgic for me to listen to the call, you know, on ESPN, because Mike Parris, the voice of the Gamecocks, he's been there forever, man. He's like Larry Munson around Jacksonville State. Just hearing him call that and seeing that, it was just surreal. That'll probably be an ESPY, you know, finalist for the year for Play of the Year, without a doubt.
This is what happens when folks know about who to give grief to in a situation like this.
I was just going to say, how can we rub it in even more?
You get Joel Engram to call.
I love it.
A top 10 ranked team in Double A.
Being a football guy myself, you know, I try just to study it analytically in football. Don't look at it as a fan. But in this case, you know, this is a special circumstance. All I know is in the coaching, I wouldn't, you know, the way I Coach Norvell having to stand up at that podium and answer all those questions.
How do you, as a coach, how do you not play prevent defense, Joel? How do you not play prevent?
Well, that's a question that I'm glad I don't have to ask. But, you know, the thing I know is, where was the pass rush? It looked like they weren't trying to get pressure by the DBs, or they almost quit on the play.
Almost.
It was one of those, to be honest, John, it was one of those classic, everybody sitting around waiting on somebody else to make a play.
I got it, you take it.
And it blew up. And, you know, I hope Florida State, because I think college football is better with Florida State and Miami in the national picture. So I hopefully, you know, I'm not somebody sitting here wishing Florida State failure by any way, because I've always had a place in my heart for him too, but man, this was just too good. You know, I was gonna get you now.
Yeah, I do.
I was gonna let this go by.
I knew you were gonna get me, but now that we have you, all right, let's talk about you a little bit. Let's talk about Washington County. You got the Duke. It was a big win. See how I'm trying to change the subject here.
I'm just letting you two go. This is great.
So Waco beat Swainsboro 22-21. You were down 21-8, Joel. Great comeback win for you this week. And I know that you'll be in my top 10 in AA. Great win for you this past weekend.
Well, I appreciate it. It was tough circumstances. That was our first game in a month, mm-hmm. because we'd had two canceled. And it was Swainsboro's fourth game, and they're a good football team, and they were a good football team coming in. And we just found a way, and, you know, in your non-region games, you want to be challenged and go through things that will help you for your region schedule, like coming back late and things like that. But, man, anytime we've gotten together with Swainsboro, for the most part the last few years, it's been those type of ball games. So we had to find a way late to win and hang on. So we're certainly excited, you know, and it was crazy because, like, that was our first live special teams, you know, because that was our first night out since our scrimmage.
Yep.
I was pleasantly surprised in the thing that just jumped off the screens how hard our kids play. But, you know, we got Evans this week, and they're a 6A team that's 4-0, and they were ranked going into the season. So they come here, so we, you know, short turnaround, got to get ready to go play them. But hopefully we're in our season mode now to where, you know, we can focus on that short turnaround, 5 days and from each opponent, and it feels more like we're in our normal schedule of football season now.
Coach Engram, so good to see you guys out on the field being able to play. How has it been overcoming these COVID situations and being hot and cold and having to take weeks off, and how have you guys been able to overcome that adversity?
Just trust, just listening to my health department and listen to my administration. They've never made a decision that was wrong yet, and every you know, a couple of weeks ago, we did a 5-day little mini shutdown for, you know, try to vaccinate our kids and also try to, you know, for contact tracing. And we found that was the smartest thing we ever did. You know, we're not, you know, putting anybody at risk or anything for that nature. And then we've been good to go ever since. And, you know, I talk to our guys as much as after each game about staying safe and, you know, sanitizing and staying within your bubble as much as I do the next opponent, because, you know, from doing all this contact tracing, I think most coaches could probably be an assistant epidemiologist. But, see, that witching hour is usually around Tuesday or Wednesday. That's when, you know, if you're going to get new cases, that's when a lot of those arise. And so you just have to be vigilant. You know, so when we have our study halls, we keep our kids separated and, you know, mask up, you know, and stay distance. And You know, our administrators, they have a, you know, good, strong policy in place for us, in terms of keeping our kids safe. So, we feel good about it. And last week was a really good week in terms of, our normal flow of practice, and not guys on monitoring and stuff like that. And, you know, you call around the state, everybody's, you know, everybody's going through the same things. And that's comfort. And it's tough, you know, being a leader in this day and age. But, you know, you find out how much gratitude you have for your players that sacrifice so much to come do stuff that they love. You know, they've had loved ones that have been affected by COVID. They might have loved ones, parents passed, and yet they still come out there every day. And I try to make myself remember and enjoy that and tell those guys every day how much I appreciate them. So, and then, you know, to come out with a win like that the other night, that was a good jolt of energy, and I just hope we can use it to continue to prepare for this next one.
And the interview that you and I did on Southern Swing will be up in the next little while on the GPB platforms. It was great to catch up with you, my friend. It was great to hear from you this week, although I had a sneaking suspicion that this would not go by. Thank you for crashing, as always.
Yes, thank you for rubbing it in to John.
You're welcome. Go Cox, always.
I love you, my friend. I'll talk soon.
Love too, man. Y'all have a good one.
Oh, Joel Ingram, the head coach of the Washington County Golden Hawks, crashing the show.
It wasn't just me giving you a hard time now.
No.
All of our listeners think I'm just constantly giving you a hard time, and now I have somebody else on my team. Yes.
Yeah, everybody else is on that team. Who are you kidding? So, yeah, so Commander Sandy's talking about it. You're talking about it. Joel Ingram crashes the show to talk about it. What else would you like to talk about to slam John before we go?
Two words.
Yeah.
Hotty toddy.
Okay, so Ole Miss, well, you played Austin Peay. Congratulations. Matt Corral throws for 204 and 4.
So?
Ooh, you won a game you were supposed to win. Merry Christmas.
So? Won it big. Hey, you didn't win a game you were supposed to win.
You see this?
Okay, this is a high school football show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our game of the week this Friday.
Let's talk about our game of the week this Friday.
Because I'm fired up for it. This week, our Football Friday on Georgia broadcast will feature two high-scoring offenses.
You like that transition?
It's Mill Creek versus West Forsyth.
Uh-huh.
The Wolverines are 2-1, coming off an impressive 51-35 win over Walton.
Mm-hmm.
Their only loss of the season so far was to Class 5A powerhouse Cartersville, 38-31. West Forsyth is led offensively by quarterback Keegan Stover and running back Peyton Strico. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Strico, that is correct.
Mill Creek, on the other hand, is undefeated at 3-0. Did not play last week. The Hawks have already beaten Parkview and Norcross. Coach Josh Lovelady's team has scored 119 points, and their average margin of victory is 29.7 points. Their top offensive players are quarterback Hayden Clark and running back Donovan Journey. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m., and I cannot wait for this one.
Yeah, I'm anticipating this might be one of the more higher-scoring games. Obviously, Mill Creek, with the week off, has had another week to prepare, and it wouldn't have surprised me to see some of their coaches checking out West Forsyth and Walton last week. And a reminder for the programming side of things, Recruiting 2021 starts things off at 7 o'clock with Matt Stewart, myself, and the Interviewer of the Stars. You might know her as Hannah Gooden. And so we'll catch you up with everything going on in the world of recruiting at 7, kick off a little after 7:30 with the broadcast. And then the way that it goes on the GPB network is, once the game is over, then everything starts all over again. You get to see Recruiting 2021 after the postgame show.
Yep,
remember,
brand new postgame
game's
show.
Over, postgame show. Then after the postgame show, Recruiting 2021, then after Recruiting 2021 re-airs, then the game re-airs. So it is in a full evening and even into the early morning hours that it is all high school football here on GPB.
Just got word my Zoom interview this week will be West Forsyth tight end Oscar Delp. We'll go ahead and record that tomorrow. So that'll be my interview on Recruiting 2021. And hey, we missed you, but the postgame show.
Are you sure about that?
The postgame show went pretty good. We had three coaches on.
Saw you had the coach from Sandy Creek.
Our friends at ESPN Coastal dropped off. I think they had to wait too long.
Okay.
There was quite a few technical difficulties, but hey, we got through the first show, and now we kind of know what to expect, and it was good.
Good, and it's good to be able to kind of share the state with the rest of the state, especially in a post game. And if you have not so far, please make sure that you are liking, friending, and be a part of the conversation on all the social media platforms at Georgia Public Broadcasting. It is Facebook, it is Twitter, it is Instagram, it is YouTube, all these different places where you can be immersed in the entire GPB Sports.
Immersed.
I-M-M-E-R-S-E-D. Immersed. I think it's I-M-M, not E. But yeah, a total GPB Sports high school football experience on all the social media platforms. Like, friend, be a part of the conversation. Let us know what you're doing. If you're at games, send us great plays all week long, because we could count down to kickoff on Thursdays where we can show off the state to the rest of the state too. So it's a lot of different things that you can do here during high school football season at GPB.
Yep, Thursdays at noon, countdown to kickoff, Facebook Live. Come join us. It's a lot of fun.
What you said. I think that's a show.
That's a show.
Yeah, considering that I have been...
You've had enough.
Yeah, I've had enough.
You've had enough. John's taking off the headset and walking out. So I will wrap this baby up. Thank you all for listening to the Football Friday in Georgia podcast. I'm going to go chase John down, make sure he's not crying. I've got a box of tissues right here. I'm going to bring him. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you guys Friday for our Game of the Week, Mill Creek versus West Forsyth. Bye.